All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
I got some new things for you. Want to see one right out of the gate? We probably should, because you guys are probably over here wondering, what in the world is hiding behind this, huh? I'd like to introduce you to Smiley. Yeah, this is Smiley. How about that? Yeah. He's made out of foam, but he's an exact replica of a T-Rex head fossil. A friend of mine who used to work with me at Answers in Genesis, she contacted me and said, hey, I've got to move and I've got to take this off my wall. She had this up as the main piece of her living room, amen? I brought it home and I told my wife, it looks real good above the fireplace, and she said, no way. We're going to talk about Smiley, and we're going to talk about dinosaurs. For those of you who don't know me, I am a former pastor, Finger Lakes Baptist Church, Geneva, New York. Prior to that, I went to college. While I was in college, I was exposed to the idea of using the Bible in a biblical chronological approach to teaching the Word of God. And then from that, we went to the pastorate, and then I went to Answers in Genesis. I was there for just under 10 years. I was responsible for the coordination of the construction of the Creation Museum, as well as a speaker for them. And then when that time ended, then I went to Creation Ministries International for about 5 or 6 years as a full-time speaker for them. And then about 2011, I started my own ministry from day one, and we continue to do the work of the ministry and the work of the evangelist. And so I'm looking, this is the first time I've used this projector. And so my other one died on my last meeting in the Philippines. I just got back from Asia. I'd never been there before. I was over there a long time. My wife's very happy that I'm home. I don't remember how many days, 56 I guess it was, or something like that. I left January 11th. I got back on March 6th. And so we went all over. We were preaching every day. Most times we were preaching 3 times a day. In the Philippines, I was there 36 days, and I spoke for 33 days. And each one of those days was usually 5 to 7 hours. And it was just unbelievable, and we hope either tonight or Monday or Tuesday we'll show you some things that happened over there. So I just got back. I had major jet lag, and I've been on the road since. My wife was just sharing with somebody, I think I've been home 3 weeks this year. The whole year. But I've got my voice back. I'm so happy. I lost it in the Philippines. And I'm very happy to be with you. And well, what do we do? Well, we want to talk about examining your worldview. And this morning, I want to start with this verse out of 2 Corinthians. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And whom the God of this world has done what? He's blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, to shine unto them. And in examining your worldview, we're really going to look at how you view your world, and do you view your world through the lens of Scripture? Now, it's interesting that we're going to deal with this subject of dinosaurs in the Bible. The last time I was here, we talked about dinosaurs in the Bible, and we went through that presentation, and we used the Word of God to show you about dinosaurs. Well, today we're not going to look at dinosaurs in the Bible in detail. We're actually going to review very quickly, and then we're going to talk about these creatures since the Bible. Why? Because we learn a lot about the world that we live in when we look at that world, and we can learn about that world through the lens of Scripture. So why do we talk about dinosaurs? Well, it's very simple. If Smiley over there is millions of years old, then the Bible isn't true. Okay? If dinosaurs are millions of years old, then the Bible's history isn't true. And when you have a proper understanding of biblical history, you can make sense out of the world that we live in. If you don't have a proper understanding about biblical history, you can be led to believe almost anything. And they're out there promoting almost anything. And so today we're taught all sorts of strange ideas that are contrary to the Word of God. And so, just in review, how do we learn about these dinosaurs? Well, we find their bones, right? We got Smiley, we've got picture of a bones there. Here's a one I had last time. I thought I'd bring it back. This is the nail from a mega velociraptor. That's a velociraptor right there. And so the velociraptor has three fingers. You can see them right there. And there in the middle one, this is the middle digit of the right appendage of one found in Peru. Okay? And so it's his nail. Okay? It's not a horn. All right? Not a horn. Okay? It's a nail. Okay? And so we find bones. And so these bones tell us what? That God's done something in the past. And here, you can hand that around again because some folks are visiting since I've been here, and you can check that out. And so, you know, we're taught that dinosaurs are millions of years old, and we're constantly influenced by the world that we live in. This morning, we're going to concentrate on this statement from 1993 in National Geographic. No human being has ever seen a live dinosaur. Well, we answered last time. Now we're going to amplify that answer since the close of the canon. I use the Bible to explain dinosaurs. I taught you how to view your world through biblical glasses. Why? Because the Bible is the history book of the universe. Amen? And this book can be trusted in everything it touches upon. Science, chemistry, biology, morality. Whatever it talks about, it can be trusted. And so it talks about these creatures. And so we looked at that biblical worldview, and the Bible gives us a chronology. And I talked about how at the Creation Museum, we took this wonderful idea, this concept that Dr. Gary Parker came up with. We promoted it while I was at Answers in Genesis. It's the storyline of the museum. Seven major events in the history of the world that when we learn them, we can look at our world through biblical glasses. The first one's creation. It's a real event that happened in the history of the world. It affects you and me today. It affects our understanding of dinosaurs. And then we looked at corruption, sin coming into the world. God created this world because he wants fellowship with man. That's why it's all here. We'll discover that even more during our time together. But sin came into the world. It affected everything, including dinosaurs. Then there was a worldwide flood. That affects our understanding of dinosaurs. Then there's confusion. God brought languages into the world. That affects our understanding of dinosaurs. Then there's Christ and the cross. That doesn't affect our understanding of dinosaurs hardly at all. Amen. But it affects you and me. Amen. And so then there's a future consummation when we'll see creatures that God had created. The lion will lay down with the lamb. The Bible talks about us seeing creatures. And hey, it'd be pretty cool if we could see some smileys again. And so we just might. So these are the seven seas of world history. We talked about dinosaurs and why you don't find the word dinosaur in the Bible, because it's a new word. It's a word invented by this man, Dr. Sir Richard Owen, when? In 1841. Why? He was given bones as the curator of the British Museum of Natural History and Science, and he didn't have a classification for them. So he came up with a new term. He took two Greek words, denios and sauros, which means terrifying lizard, because that's what iguanodon is. And so now this same term is used to describe creatures that have long ago died out in the ocean, on the land, and flying in the air. So if you have a translation like the King James, 1611, the word wasn't invented till 1841. You're looking for the wrong word in the Bible, amen? Yeah, you should be rewarding, which is what? It's the word dragon. And the dragons of old are actually the dinosaurs in history. And you see, if the world today started understanding that, it would force them to begin to what? Look at the Word of God. Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Let me show you a quote here. Knox Wilson, he said in the World Book Encyclopedia, "The dragons of legend are strangely like actual creatures that have lived in the past. They are much like the great reptiles, which inhabited the earth long before man is supposed to have appeared on earth." How about that? What's wrong with it? He's been secularized, and he's not thinking it through in that real history. The dragons of old are the dinosaurs in history. We looked at creation. We saw that everything in the beginning, God created it, and it's created after its kind. We talked about that kind. What is a kind? A kind is something that can reproduce. Okay, like dogs. In the Philippines, when I was over there, I got more traction out of this illustration than anything else, because we talked about dinosaurs in the majority of our public meetings. Really? Really. Hour and a half on average. Public schools, police stations, in a prison, in churches, all over the place, people wanted to know about dinosaurs. And when it came to kinds, I taught them this way. You know, see, in the Philippines, there are dogs everywhere. How many of you have been to the Philippines? A couple of you have. There are dogs everywhere. I mean, it'd be like going out to church, you go to lunch, you see 5 or 10 dogs. Then you, as you're driving down the road, you see hundreds of dogs. And then you get to where you're going, there's more dogs. There's dogs in the car, there's dogs in the rooms, there's dogs in houses. And by the way, they're not all pets. Most of them are strays. Unbelievable. So I used dogs, and I said, hey, how many of you have ever seen a dog give birth to a cat? And they say, no. I said, have you ever seen a dog give birth to a chicken? No. You ever seen a dog give birth to a cow? No. Why? Because dogs breed after their kind. Amen? Cats never give birth to dogs. We use the same illustration that way. And so everything after its kind, these creatures, Smiley's a real creature. Right? There he is. You're handling a nail of another creature. They were created after their kind. And so what? Dragons, dinosaurs were created when? On day 6. T-Rex is a land animal. Land animals and man were created on day 6. T-Rex created on day 6. Hey, dinosaurs live side by side with man ever since day 6, according to the Word of God.
Amen.
Yes, amen. And then the Bible tells us something else about them, and I taught you that last time. We had a little interaction, and we talked about teeth. You know, hey, you got big teeth. Yeah, just because an animal has big teeth doesn't mean that it eats meat. It just means that it has big teeth. Amen. That's all it means. Smiley's got big teeth. Yeah, but that doesn't mean he eats meat. It just means he has big teeth. Today, you look at modern animals like bears, and you watch them. They got big teeth, but they go up to plants, and they suck it in their mouth, and they rip all the leaves right off and the berries all off. And so a lot of times we get a false impression. Why? The secular world wants you to think that it's always been survival of the fittest, red in tooth and claw, as Tennyson wrote in one of his works. And that's what's been promoted on and on and on. Why? To get you to think that life in the past was different than what the Bible says. And so meat eaters, not at all. They're actually plant eaters. In Genesis 1:29 and 30, verse 30, to every beast of the earth, every fowl of the air, and everything that creeps upon the earth wherein there's life, I've given every green herb for meat. And it was so. In the beginning, everything was a vegetarian. Wait a minute, but I polished off some ham with eggs this morning when it came in. How can I eat meat now? Yeah, we'll get to that. But in the beginning, they ate fruits and vegetables. These are modern ones, but you get the idea. How is it I can eat meat today? Because when they got off the ark, God said, every moving thing that liveth shall be food for you, even as the green herb, I've given you all things. Woohoo! I can eat a hot dog. Amen? I don't know what's in it, but I can eat it. Amen? Yeah. So when I look at the Word of God, I get understanding of practice that I have in my day-to-day life. Not going to be a good steward on how I eat. Amen? Why? Because I eat the wrong things. I can really harm my body. And my body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, you better be a good steward. Better be careful. The seven seas of history, again, corruption. Sin comes into the world by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Thou shalt not eat of it, Adam. For the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely, what's that word? Die. I taught you, dying you will die. You'll begin to die and continue to die until you're dead. It's an action that didn't exist in the present. It would come into existence and have a continuing result, ending in finality in the future. That's why when you're born to die. Today, you will die. Why? Because of this real event that happened in the history of the world. Why? Adam disobeyed. Sin came into the world, and sin affects everything. We know in the beginning that the dinosaurs ate vegetables, but then it changed. We believe sin is that mechanism that changed it, and now they started eating each other. How do we know? We find parts of dinosaurs in the stomachs of other creatures. Amen? So, we know there was a change. Again, just reviewing dinosaurs in the Bible. So I got to speed it up. Someone's like, you're kidding. No, I'm not. And so now we go, what? The catastrophe, Noah's flood. God judged the world with a worldwide flood because of sin, and dinosaurs died in that flood. Some were in the ark, and many were, and all those not in the ark were outside the ark. Some died, and then they became fossils like Smiley and others. That's where we get them. But there were those in the ark. Dinosaurs got on the ark, they got off the ark, and they went out into the world, and they migrated all over the world. Then there was an ice age. We talked about that one day, and many people have commented on that. And so, yep, this is what the world might have been like. All the brown you see is the exposed areas of land, and there's land bridges everywhere. And so now they get out of the ark, and they spread out across the face of the earth. And that's why we find such diversity in the world that we live in today. But dinosaurs also get out of the ark. Then there was the judgment of languages. And why is that important? Because man started going across the face of the earth. And now we start to get close to where we want to go. Dinosaurs since the Bible. So this is important. Man, with his different languages, are spreading out across the face of the earth. In the Hebrew, we learned about the word tanin. We looked at over a number of places, over 27 times in the Old Testament, the word dragon is used. And then to wrap that lecture up, I talked to you about the book of Job, where Job is God's talking to Job about a dinosaur named Behemoth. He eats grass like an ox. He's got a tail like a cedar tree. His bones are strong as pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He's chief in the ways of God. And then I showed you this real dinosaur in Chicago. They're only missing 7 of his bones. And that's me standing right next to him. Whoa, he's massive. Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee. And I believe the Bible's crystal clear. It's talking about what? It's talking about a sauropod dinosaur. But in Scripture, they fade from view. Why did the majority of the dinosaurs die? They die from hunting. They die from habitat changes. They die from genetic changes, and they die from climate changes. Now, I don't mean global warming. I mean you can have a volcano blow up, and it can ruin a whole area where an animal lives. I remember in high school, the dodo bird went out of existence because it lost its food source where it lived down in Central America. And that was due to a climate change. And so you can have genetic changes. These are all reasons why dinosaurs go extinct. But man tries to tell people that dinosaurs are still here. Field Museum, birds are dinosaurs. What? Yeah, that kind of teaching is all over the place. We don't have time to go into it. I just need to mention it to you that it's out there. And by the way, this idea of macroevolution, it's 100% impossible. And yet they teach it. And we talked about that as well the last time we were here. So, that was all review, amen? Now we're going to get into the message. And I only have 137 slides to go. Amen. So we'll go as far as we can. Dinosaurs since the Bible. No human being has ever seen a live dinosaur. Louis Jacobs said this. He's an author, a teacher. He's the former president of the Society of Vertebrate Paleontology. He teaches at Southern Methodist University. Such an association, what? That if people could understand dinosaurs and dragons, such an association would dispel an earth with vast antiquity. The entire history of creation, including the day of rest, could be accommodated in the 7 biblical days of the Genesis myth. Evolution would be vanquished. Where does he teach? Southern Methodist University. How far away from the Word of God have they gotten? But his statement is true. If people understood the ramifications of the authority of the Word of God, it would destroy evolution. And you know what? It does. And that's what we're going to show you. And so using biblical history, I learn about the world that I live in. Dinosaurs outside the ark. What happened to them? They died. What happened to some of them? They got buried. Where? In all of the billions of dead things that are buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. And we find their bones. We find their bones all over the place. Little bones. Here's a little dinosaur. We find big bones. Look at that leg bone. That hip is like way up here, you know. That guy could stand in a parking lot and watch you on the other side of the building. Amen? Massive creatures. We find all sorts of bones. Here's a casting of a triceratops that we used at the Creation Museum. This is in the Royal Tyrrell Museum in Alberta, Canada. Notice how the head is snapped back. Whenever we see that in a fossil, we recognize that that comes from drowning. When animals drown, their muscles react, and the majority of the animals we find in the fossil record, when their heads are tilted back like that, it's known that that's from drowning. Here's another one in the same museum. And again, the same thing. So we find their bones all over the world. Here's in Australia. We find skulls, and some skulls, notice, This one and this one look the same. And yet, because of the labeling system they use, anybody can name it anything they want. If I found that T-Rex in my backyard, I could name it Smiley. Why? Because I can name it whatever I want. There's no system for it. So it's very hard in tracking down the history of different things found in the fossil record. Yet, look at the similarity here. So the question is, I wonder how old these guys were. Is this an adult or a juvenile? Is that an adult or a juvenile? Maybe they're the same age. We don't know. Why? Because things change within the kind. Amen? There were two dogs that got off the ark. Look how many dogs we have today. And so lots of differences. Notice the different examples of what we found in the ceratopsia kind. All different types of ornamentation, if we want to call it that, on how they look. And there's only about 50 kinds of dinosaurs. And so we find their footprints. Yes, tracks. Why? They were running around. Notice the rippling here, just like beach erosion. Water, they walked over it, and then that was buried. This is Dinosaur Ridge outside of Denver. Now, this used to be horizontal, okay? And all these creatures were walking along. And then what? It was buried. You see, they removed all this overburden on top of it already, exposing more and more tracks. But the point is that this used to be horizontal. And the dinosaurs walked along, and then immediately it was covered over. And then, boom, it was lifted up, and now it's 2,000 plus feet in the air out in Dinosaur Ridge in Denver. But evidence of what? Evidence of dinosaurs. We find their eggs. Here's an artist's conception of an egg. This is a real egg. Check it out. Top of the skull, that says. The claws are right here, the eye socket. So they can study these things. And we can learn about the biology of these creatures since the Bible. Then we learn about what? How about their poop? Dinosaur dung. You know? Well, why is that important? Because it teaches us what they ate. And it's interesting. They've looked at the grass families found in their dung, and the same seven grass families that are found in their dung are identical to the grasses we have growing on the planet right now. There's no change whatsoever. And so I often wonder if there's Kentucky bluegrass in there, you know, who knows? But that's why it's important. We find their skin, find all sorts of things in the fossil record. So we've looked at dinosaurs outside of the ark, but now let's focus on this one. What about those dinosaurs in the ark? Some of you are saying, what? Dinosaurs in the ark? Yeah, God said he took two of every kind onto the ark, which would include what? Dragons, which are known as what? Dinosaurs. And so there was a worldwide flood. And so during the time of that flood, there was an ice age right after it. And right after the ice age, what happened? The ark has a final resting place, and there's plenty of time for animals to go all over the earth, just like I mentioned earlier. But that would also include what? Dinosaurs. And so the Bible tells us about languages coming into existence. Man starts going across the face of the earth. And guess what he starts running into? Dragons. And guess what he starts doing? Well, Dennis the Menace gives us a good idea. Amen? He says, if people weren't around when dinosaurs were, then who drew the pictures? Huh? How about that? But think about that. Who drew the pictures? 3100 BC, we're looking at something called the Palette of Narnia. It's the oldest artifact that I'm aware of that actually shows what? Dinosaurs. The question for the rest of this message for you to answer is this. How could these things be in our history if they had never seen dinosaurs and if man and dinosaurs had never lived together? Okay? How could all these things be there? And I'm just showing you snippets of various things. And so look at this. The Palette of Narnia. Here we have the king putting a subject, putting someone under his authority. We have a bird. We have all these things. And yet, we have these creatures right here with leashes being held onto by other men. Here's an ox. All of these things are known. What are these? How could they do that? How could they carve this if they had never seen it? That's the point. Then we look at another one. This is from a whole different area in Egypt. This was 3000 BC, and it was found in a different deposit, and yet it has the same things. Notice big long necks. Here's jaguars, all these are other antelope and so forth. These are all known animals. What is that? How could they do that? By the way, they used to put dye or ink or a mascara, okay? That's what this was for. They used these palettes to put the stuff on and then put it on their faces. Here's another one. Look at that animal. How could they do this? This is called a Mesopotamian cylinder seal. And that's it right there. It would be used to be rolled over wax or something else to seal a document. And when they rolled it over, that's the impression that came out of it. Notice how they're put together. Notice again the twisting of the necks. Again, this is another artifact from a different time. And yet notice they have the same identification of this action. So now we have at least three people, because we've seen three objects where they've all said the same thing, and they've all come from different areas. And notice, that could be a very small creature, like Tanystrophus, or it could also be a large creature, like a sauropod dinosaur. We're not sure which one. But either one of them aren't running around the world today, amen? And so, the dragons of old are the dinosaurs in history. 330 BC, Alexander the Great invaded India. He brought back reports of seeing a great hissing dragon living in a cave, which people were worshiping as a god. For the Chinese, the dragon is the very symbol of what? Power and immortality. Being interviewed by a friend of mine, the director of the Chinese Museum of Natural History said, dragons are not a part of Chinese mythology, but a part of Chinese what? History. Real creatures. Notice the zodiac that comes from China. Have you ever thought about that? From 202 BC to 220 AD, they produced this. And what do we have? We have all these animals. Rabbit. What's this? What's that? Ox. What's this? What's that? Chicken. Yeah, rooster. It's the year of the rooster this year, okay? What's that? How come all these animals are common and this one isn't? Makes no sense, right? Why did they come up with some mythological creature? And yet, we have the dragon. 1271, 1291 AD, Marco Polo traveled through Asia, Persia, China, and in Indonesia. He recorded the journeys in a work titled The Travels, which was published in 1300 AD. He reported many interesting facts about what he encountered. He wrote that in the province of Carajin, Chinese royal chariots were occasionally pulled by what? Dragons, which are what? Dinosaurs. In the historical records of the king of that, from the year 1611, the emperor appointed the position of royal dragon feeder on his payroll. Now, unless he worked for the American government, where we pay for stuff that doesn't exist, okay, why would he pay somebody for something that wasn't real? Right? And yet we have that evidence. And the evidence keeps mounting. Chinese royal chariots were pulled by dragons. Chronicle is a newspaper, 1405, in the town of Burris near Sudbury. There's lately appeared to the great herd of the countryside a what? A dragon, vast in a body, crested head, teeth like a saw, tail extending to an enormous length. Having slaughtered the shepherd of the flock, it devoured many sheep. In this book, After the Flood, Bill Cooper's done a great job of researching the history of these documents and their authenticity. What year? 1405. What a dragon. Don't worry, there's plenty more coming. How could all these things happen if they weren't real creatures? In the Cathedral of Canterbury, history records that on September 26th, 1449, between the English towns of Suffolk and Essex, there was a fight between a huge black dragon and a red, which was witnessed by an entire township and lasted for over an hour. In the end, the black was badly wounded and retreated to its lair. Two of the most respected Englishmen of the 15th century witnessed the fight, John Steele and Christopher Holder, and later confirmed the validity of the event. You see, when you go to court, the best witness you can have is what? An eyewitness. We have two eyewitnesses, plus we have a whole town, and they said that on this day in 1449, two dinosaurs, dragons, fought each other. How come you were never told that information? I submit to you there's a reason for it.
Amen.
And we'll get to that in a moment. Carlisle Cathedral, Northern England. This one is fascinating. Here in the center of this church, underneath this carpet, they put the carpet on it because the what I'm going to show you is starting to wear away. But you can go there and they'll remove it. And here's the tomb of Bishop Bell. Notice the brass banding around his tomb. This banding contains some interesting things. What is that? That's a bird, right? What's this? That's a dog, right? What's that? That's a fish. What's that? Sauropod dinosaurs. Engraved in the brass around his tomb. I mean, how do you do that if you'd never seen it? And I want you to notice something else. That these dinosaurs have the same issue going on here with the necks as these that were carved hundreds of years earlier in a different part of the world. And the point is that the same thing is noticed by different people in different times of the same creatures. And what does that do? It actually adds to the authority and the validity of what they're putting down and what they're carving. And so, Historia Naturalis, written in 1701, recorded that a powerful heraldic dragon was killed on Vatican Hill when? In 1669, during a fight with the army of Rome. This dragon was reported to have had wings and webbed feet. We have petroglyphs, right? What are these? Like Dennis the Menace. How could they draw it? Well, we have petroglyphs all over the world. I'll show you a couple. Here's a petroglyph in Lake Superior Provincial Park in Ontario, Canada. I've used this in elementary schools. I'll say, hey, kids, what's that? Snake. What's that? Snake. What's that? Canoe. What's that? I don't know. It looks just like one that Buddy Davis carved for the Creation Museum called Esto Metasuchus. Okay? Here's the one in Utah, Natural Bridges National Monument. And so here we have this painting. That's amazing. In Utah. Oh, it's just a dog that the kids were playing with and they pulled on its head and tail. I don't think so. I think it's something different. Natural Bridges National Monument has a lot of these petroglyphs. They're all over the place. There's a unique one over here. See the tail? And then it goes all the way up to this big head. How could they do that? That's what it looks like to give you an idea of a rubbing. So here it is right next to this little boy. There's the tail, and there's the head. How could they do that if they had never seen it? Grand Canyon, 1879. Verified by scientists, 1924, by Dr. Charles Gilmore, curator of vertebrate paleontology at the U.S. National Museum. Reported as a fact that some prehistoric man made a pictograph of a dinosaur on the walls of the canyon. Notice the bullet right here. Somebody shot it. And when they did that, now they could come in and look at this with a microscope and they can actually see the varnish and give validity to when it was actually carved. And so there it is, a bipedal dinosaur. I find this one to be the most fascinating of all the things I've read. This is a April 26, 1890, in a newspaper in Arizona. I have written it out so that you can see what it said. A winged monster resembling a huge alligator with extremely elongated tail and an immense pair of wings was found in the desert between the Whetstone and Huachucas Mountains last Sunday by two ranchers who were returning home. They proceeded to make an examination and found it measured 92 feet in length and had a general diameter was about 50 inches. And so the monster had only 2 feet, those being situated in the front where the wings join the body. The head was, as near as they could judge, about 8 feet long, the jaws being thickly set with strong, sharp teeth. The total length was about 160 feet. That's across. So 90 feet one way, 160 the other way. The wings are composed of a thick and nearly transparent membrane and were devoid of any feathers or hair, as was the entire body. The skin of the body was comparatively smooth and easily penetrated by a bullet. Somebody shot it, right? What would you do if you read something like that and they said, you know, yesterday in Charlotte, right, we found. You see, you have a great description of something that really died, was really shot by some ranchers, and really lived. We have a whole group of Indians out in that area called the Thunderbirds. Why did they name themselves that? Well, I submit to you the reason they named themselves that, because there were actually animals that really existed that would fly out there on the thermals. Here's one in the fossil record, okay? The pteranodon kind, and that's an artist rendering of what a pteranodon would look like. And yet we have a historical record of it there in a newspaper in the late 1800s. In the Indian world, there's all sorts of old artifacts that depict dinosaurs in what they've done. Here's a painting of a plesiosaurus-like creature called Yaru by the Kuku-Yalanji tribes of far north Queensland, Australia. Notice it's swimming. Inside it is one of their people. Here they are on the outside trying to kill it. All of these creatures here are known to live in that area. The fish, the gar, you know, the sea snake, the turtle. What's that? That's a plesiosaurus. Angkor Wat, Cambodia, ancient ruins, about 1200 AD. We go in here, we see all of this stuff carved, all of these illustrations of things that are all known. You got the monkey and you got other things, and yet we go up here, and what's that? Why, that's Stegosaurus, yes. How could they carve a Stegosaurus if they had never seen one? Right? Again, you know, it'd be nice to find one like that alive, amen? It'd be awesome. We could raise money for missions real fast. And so, but we find a lot of things in the fossil record. Now I'm going to jump ahead. I got very little time. We find blood cells. From what? From a T-Rex bone in 1994. Dr. Mary Schweitzer, working at a dig site. She looks inside the bone and she finds all these structures, collagen and other things. But I thought dinosaurs lived millions of years ago. How could we have red blood cells? Well, maybe they didn't live millions of years ago. That's the point. And all of these, we don't have time to read these. But I had one reviewer, she said, tell me that he didn't care what the data said. He knew that what I was finding wasn't possible. I wrote back and said, well, what kind of data would convince you? And he said, none. Why? Because his worldview is set in one direction. He does not want to consider the world that we live in. And yet we're looking at what? We're looking at evidences since the close of the Bible that talk about what? Dinosaurs. Marcus Ross says, hey, we've got all these dinosaurs, T-Rex, Triceratops, duck-billed dinosaur, even dinosaur eggs, yielding. Yielding what? All sorts of biology. Dr. Sarfati. So recent experiments on how fast DNA breaks down shows that even under ideal conditions, it would not last anywhere near the time since dinosaurs were meant to have become extinct. These ideal conditions are temperatures well below freezing. Now, in real life, dinosaurs were meant to have lived in very warm climates. And warmth means that DNA would decay even more quickly when the creature died. Therefore, the DNA presence in dinosaur bones is strong evidence against the millions of years time scale. And yet we have a paleontologist in Canada who doesn't know the Lord yet, but he wrote in one of his books, the bones look and feel like old cow bones. The discoverers of the site did not report it for 20 years. Why? Because they assumed they were bison, not dinosaur bones. They're as light as balsa wood, and they look as fresh as yesterday's dog bones. These are what? Unfossilized dinosaur bones in Alaska. Whoa! This is big evidence, folks. Yeah, here's a sample of the frozen bone from the Lipscomb Bed and Prince Cream Formation in Nugget, Alaska. Here's another one. Okay, they found this skull, okay? And the skull is not fossilized. What's the point? The point is that the Bible says what? The Bible says that God created dinosaurs on day 5 and day 6. They're called dragons. They live side by side with man. They roamed the earth. They got on the ark. Those outside of the ark died. Some of them became smiley. Amen? And then what? Then they got off the ark, they went out into the world, and they've been seen by all sorts of man since that time. And the majority of them are dead today. There might be 3 places in the world where we still might see some. But the point is when I look at God's word, what I find in my world agrees with what I see in God's word. Amen. And it should. Why? Because it is the history book of the universe. Amen? So I thank the Lord that we can look at our world today and we can learn. We can learn from it. We can learn about it. And indeed, when we understand it, I can look at God's word and I can have confidence in the word of God and I can apply it to the world that I live in and I can make sense about it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time we've had together. I pray that this has been encouraging to all who've been here. And that it might increase our understanding of the wonderful world that you've created for us to live in. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.